He's helped me reach a lot of my goals. He's helped many of you reach a lot of your goals. So please help me welcome to the front of the room, Mr. Santiago Mann.
Woo!
Yeah!
Woo! All right, Chief, go get him.
Thank you, Howard. All right! How's everybody doing tonight? Man, turn it up, turn it up. Keep it going. How's everybody doing tonight? How's today been? Was today awesome or what? Was it really good? Come on, give it to me. I can't hear you. Say it again. All right. All right. Woo. As you guys can tell, as Howard was saying, I do need a little bit more energy, right? I have not had coffee for a while. Maybe that's just my reserves kicking in. But I want to make sure that everybody has this little double tree piece of paper to take some notes, and we're going to be doing some exercises. We're going to be standing up. You're going to be meeting some strangers. So if you got a problem with that, I'm sorry. Ahead of time, okay? But I want to just ask you guys a quick question, real quick, for real. Was today the amount of information that you got, was that kind of like drinking out of a fire hose? Yeah. Anybody feel like that? Yeah. Anybody been to a place where it's like, I love it, and then you're like trying to write down some notes, and then like, oh man, there's more, and then he said some more, and it's like, oh, I couldn't finish writing that, and he's saying something else, and like, now what am I going to do? And then another 4 hours of that later, it's like, what in the world are we going to do about it? You guys feel like that?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you're not the first one. You're not the first person to go through that. But I do want to give you a quick little tool before we get rolling that I have learned. I learned this from John Maxwell, very simple. And I like simple. I'm kind of lazy, so the simpler you make it, the further you can take it. Where's Ellen Rohr at? But very simple thing that I'm going to just share with you. You guys have a lot of notes, don't you? And if you don't, then you later on are going to be watching the recording of this, or, you know, the recording of the whole day. And as you guys go through that, then you're going to take some notes then. But even at that point, you're going to be thinking like, gosh, man, there's still so much stuff. Even if you break it down by the hour, every single hour that he was sharing, it was like content packed, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So how do we dwindle it down to actual, you know, actionable steps? Because there's no point in coming in and just feeling like a rock star and then we don't do anything about it. Is that right? Like, you take that book, that whole big fat book of notes, and then like the papers are kind of crumpled up because you actually wrote on it, and you feel good. You get back, it's like, oh my gosh, man, Brian killed it. There's so much stuff. What'd you learn? And then you can't think of one thing because you got 6,000 of them that you could think of. So one of the things that I used to do when I would take notes, when I would go to any event, is I would just put a little star. It's like, oh, this is a star thing, right? Like, that's good. Then at the end of the day, at night, before going to bed, I just review anything that had a star and kind of grab that and dwindle it down to a smaller list. And then before you knew it, I had a much smaller list of just the biggest takeaways from the place. I was like, all right, cool, that's cool. But then I went to like better events, and then I had some that had 2 stars. I was like, oh, this is so good. This is like a 4-star, maybe a 5-star. So then it still got a little complicated. And when I saw John talk about this, this is the ACT. Anybody know what this is?
Yeah.
I knew you would. The first part, the A, stands for apply. This is something I'm going to apply. So as you're going through your notes, and you want to do this tonight, and I know it sucks, there's a lot of notes you're going to go through, right? Because if you do it tomorrow, there's going to be more notes. If you do it the day after that, you got 3 days worth of notes now to go through, okay? So we're going to start with A. And all you got to do is just skim it. Like skim it. It's like, oh, that right there. I need to apply that. So you're just going to put an A next to it. You guys with me?
Yeah.
Cool. Simple enough. This is something I need to apply. Then later on, we're going to grab all of those, put them together, and we're going to have a list of things to apply. Sound good? Everybody with me? Say yes.
Yes.
All right. Cool. C stands for change. You know what? When he was talking about this one thing under marketing or in the sales process, and you were thinking, man, I need to make sure that I'm talking about overcoming those objections ahead of time, right? Like that might be something I want to change in our scripts, in our sales process. So I'm going to put a by the way, can you guys see that? Just realized that. It's been like all day, y'all couldn't see him. Nobody said anything? No? All right, cool. At least you saw a part of him. But you want to change stuff, right? Okay, cool. So I'm going to work on changing 1, 2, 3. It doesn't matter. All you're going to do is you're going to put a C next to the stuff you want to change. You guys with me? Sound good? Say yes.
Yes.
Cool. And the last one is T for teach. So this is something I have to teach my team. This is something, okay, let's go back to sales. I love sales, as you guys know, those of you that know me. I love sales, I love marketing, that's like awesome, right? That gets me excited. Other than that, personal development, like you put those three together in one, you know, thing, I'm in heaven, right? So can we teach somebody that sales process? Is that easy or what? Like I looked at it, and I was like, ooh, 7 steps, that looks like hours. And then I'm looking at Howard, and Howard's like, gee, check it out. And Howard remembers reading that book ages ago. And I'm sure that influenced Howard so much that maybe the 7 stuck in there. And you can look at the 7-step sales process that we have, the one that Brian has, and you see right there, it's a perfect match. You guys with me? All right, is that simple enough? Can everybody do this? Say yes.
Yes.
Can you do it tonight?
No. No wrestling tonight.
At least you're being honest. We'll leave it at that, right? Now, everybody has a piece of paper, right?
Yes.
All right, cool. So how many of you understand how important... Is that them? Yeah, that's... All right. How many of you recognize how important communication is in business and in life? All right, we got 2 people. That's awesome. All right, how many of you recognize how important it is? Like, seriously, right? If all of business and all of life is about relationships, then how important is communication? It's everything, right? Now, let me ask you, when you're talking about communicating with somebody, who decides what the communication is? Is it the person speaking or the person listening? I was trying to get close to you while I asked that question. Who is it?
Listening.
It's the person listening. At the end of the day, what you say is irrelevant, isn't it? It's what the other person hears that really matters. You guys with me? Now, let me ask you a question. You think that your definition of a word is one thing, and the person that you're speaking to has a very different definition of that word? Would you guys agree with that? Yeah, right? This is an interesting study. There are 19 filters by which we see and define everything. And those 19 filters get defined by H2. 19 filters. Like, how in the world are you going to try to figure this out about anybody? This is why you can live with somebody for your whole life, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that about you. So, if we're talking about communication and the power of words, how many of you guys have ever seen that study that breaks down communication to 3 types? The words that you say, how you say it, and everything else, the visual part of it. Right? How much is the visual part of it? Over 50%? How much are the way that we say it? Over 30%. And how much are the actual words? Less than 10%. This is crazy, right? We spend so much time on the actual words. So what if we were to break it down to just one word? I'm going to write a word up here, and I want you to choose five words to define that word. It can be up to you completely. All right? I want you to just look down at your piece of paper. You're going to write five words, five ways to describe the one word I'm going to put up here. Now, this is not like a weird word. This is probably a word that everybody in this room knows, recognizes, understands, believes, has felt in their whole life. You guys with me? Yes. Up to you, because they could describe it if it's the same as. You could use it as a form of description if you wanted to, but it's up to you, okay? Everybody understand what we're about to do? Ready? It shouldn't be long. If you can't come up with five, then I'm not going to say it. I'm kidding.
Get out.
If you can at least come up with three, that's going to be good, all right? Let's put it this way. The word is love. Go ahead. Write it down. You good?
Four.
All right. Keep it coming. Anybody has five, go ahead and stand up. Somebody Googling love?
Brain hurt.
All right. How we doing? All right. The large majority of people are done. Richard, do you mind if we go through your five? Can everybody see Richard over here? Or you at least can hear him.
Okay.
Go ahead. Tell us.
Passion, union, caring, relationship, best friend.
So say it again.
Passion, union, caring, relationship, best friend.
Quick question. Who got all five? What?
Who got all five?
The same five? No one?
No.
No one got the same five? I thought we were talking about love. Don't you guys know what love is? Isn't love supposed to be passion, union,
caring,
relationship, and best friend? What? What's going on here? I thought, no, not the same word? AC, what were you to find? Actually, I assure you, more people put that one than you can imagine.
All right, so I put care, unity, companion, serve, and sex.
Who got those same five? No? What is going on here? All right, let's try one more person. Philip. We're going to get it right here.
Love is a choice, patience, giving, selfless, and caring.
Anybody?
Oh, yeah, right here.
You got all five?
Selfless.
You got one. All right, so we're like getting one or two? All right. Coming to you. Matt, tell us. What are your five?
I got a partnership, commitment, trust, family, and warmth.
Anybody?
We got one.
Hold up. What is the deal? Huh? Are y'all seriously telling me that every single person in this room has five different definitions of what love is? That's what the studies tell us. In a room of over 1,000 people, you will not find two people with the same five words. 1,000. How many people did Brian say that you know, average? So do you think that there may be some issues in communication with those 300 if we can't even define what love is? Well, not from your side, right?
I'll give you a different word.
Than love?
Sure. That one is minorly confusing.
Ah. So tell you what. How many books have been written about love? All right, you guys can have a seat. You guys can have a seat. By the way, Richard, what were you going to say?
Did you ask any ladies?
Let's ask a lady. You know what? You're right. Karen, can I ask you, what were your five?
Relationship, forgiving, heart, time, care.
Ladies?
Yes.
All five?
No.
No? Heather?
Sacrifice, service, respect, honor, and protect.
Now that sounds like that would be the five, right? For real? This is interesting. The more that I started learning about this and communication, like, it started getting bigger. Like, are you kidding me? A word? You can pick any word, by the way. The definitions of those words are so far different because of those 19 filters. You can have twins that grew up in the same house, same experiences, same everything, with two complete definitions that are completely different. You guys with me? So I want us to do another exercise, all right? Now, by the way, Jim, were you raising your hand? Talk to me.
I took a totally different.
Yeah?
Yes, for relationships,
and
then for if you love something like
a thing, a situation. I love it. You guys hear that? He wasn't talking about love with another person, but maybe he loves a situation, right? How many of you guys ever say, oh, I love that movie? What's your favorite movie, by the way? Braveheart? Anybody?
Yes.
Yeah, we got like three people. Awesome. That's like my movie. I always cry at the end. Freedom! What is something in the air, man? My wife knows. Are you going to start crying again? Yes, they cut him open. So the next exercise that I want you guys to do is I want you to find somebody in this room that you don't know. You start kind of eyeballing people, okay? So you're going to find somebody you do not know to do the next exercise. Now, for me to explain what this exercise is all about, first, I'm going to just explain a little bit about this, and then I'm going to ask one of y'all to get up here, and we'll go ahead and do a demo, okay? So, this is, all right, this thing is pretty cool. I'll just get it going. Notice and imagine. Anybody seen this before? Comes from psychology. I think this was from the 50s, right, when they first came up with this. And it's a way to help people recognize that they weren't really right. How many of you would say that you are correct in a conversation most of the time? I mean, I saw some people were like, ah! I guess maybe not. Like, I saw that shoulder, like, I saw the muscle fibers, they were ready to go. Okay, nobody else is raising their hands, right? So, this was interesting. There are only three things that we can notice about people. Only three things. We can notice what they wear. We can notice what they say. And we can notice what they do, what they physically do. Everything else, you're imagining. Everything else, you're imagining. So, Jose, can you get up here? Give it up for Jose. My brother. All right. You got to get up here so that everybody can see it, okay? So.
Test.
Okay.
Okay.
So Jose doesn't know what this is all about. I just asked him earlier, hey, man, is it cool if I get you up here and you help me do an exercise? Like, gee, of course.
Let's do it.
So calm, right? All right. So I'm going to do an exercise with you.
Okay.
I'm going to go first, then you go.
Okay.
And after you go, I'm going to go.
Good.
And we'll go back and forth.
Okay.
All right? Simple as that. That's the whole exercise. So you're going to find a stranger and you're going to do this. All right? Now, I'm going to say something that I notice about you.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say something that I imagine about what I notice.
Okay.
Everybody understand? So here goes a quick example. I notice that you are wearing glasses. I imagine it's because you can't see well.
True.
Now, it's as simple as that, right? Now, this is the thing. What I'm going to do from this point on is that he can't reply. So there will be assumptions made. Some of those assumptions are going to feel good, like, oh, yeah. That sounds good. Like, I like that about me. And some of them are like, I can't believe this dude is saying that about me. Now, the only way that you get to reply is if I screw these up. So I'll give you an example about, you know, screwing these up, okay? So, Jose, I notice that you are wearing this awesome black shoes. Awesome black shoes that gives it away automatically. Why are they awesome? Who made that assumption? I did. Instead, it would be, I notice you're wearing black shoes. I imagine you think they look awesome on you. Your turn. Your turn. You can't say it, right? Because it was good.
I notice you're wearing a ring. I imagine that you are married.
I notice you're wearing a blue shirt. I imagine you like blue.
I notice you're wearing a mic. I imagine you like to talk.
I notice you tell jokes. I imagine you think you're funny.
That's good.
Now you guys see that. That became, we took it from where to say right there. And he was talking about doing, speaking. So in one simple exercise, which was perfect, we went through all three. You guys with me? Now we're joking and I love that, right? But does everybody understand how this whole thing is going to go? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Who is unsure of what's going to happen? Why are we doing this? All right. It'll come together once we finish up. So you're going to find a stranger. Those of you that don't get it, find somebody that does. And they'll help you with it. But we're going to make a distinction about what we notice and what we imagine about the individual in front of you that you don't know anything about. The only thing that you will know is their name because they have a name tag. Does that make sense?
No. I have a question.
Tell us.
Why do people have to imagine?
That's a great question. I'll have to ask God when I get up there.
To do the process, one would have to have an ability to imagine something that wasn't so.
Yeah.
So
all of us make assumptions every single day. In the first 30 seconds of meeting somebody, there's 11 assumptions that you're making about them and their family.
Really? Okay.
You're doing it. I do it. Every single person in this room does it. You will find somebody walking down the street. I'll give you guys a perfect example, all right? This was really cool. So we're walking in Nashville. We're at the mall. This was when they were doing the sit-ins at Chick-fil-A. Anybody remember that time, right? So we were like, hey, let's go support Chick-fil-A. We're going to the mall. We're walking through the mall. The line's like 6 miles long. Forget it. We're not going there, right? Let's go eat somewhere else. So we're walking by, and it was Tom Ziegler, Howard, and I can't remember who else it was that was with us. We're walking by. We're going this way. From the other direction, there were two guys heading our direction, dressed in all black, spiky hair, you know, like big time spiky. They got earrings, they got tattoos, super, super like tight jeans, but like down to here. But they were just all dressed in black, black nails, right? Black lipstick, the whole deal, right? Now, let me ask you guys, how many of you would hire that person?
For what?
To work. For you.
Depends on the job.
Hey, at your company, would you hire them? Any job, whatsoever.
Yeah. Issue of assumptions.
Yeah.
Right? If my job was to go out to hire a bunch of punk rock looking guys,
yeah,
stand on stage with somebody, he might be a good candidate.
I hear you. So right now, would you hire that guy for your business right now, not some hypothetical one?
I don't have it. Probably not.
Right. Exactly. And the main reason for that is we're making assumptions that these guys can't wash their hair and they probably don't look good when they don't have all the stuff on. Does that make sense? We're making assumptions that this guy is probably a rock punk guy, when in reality, they could be a preacher. We don't know. You just proved the point that we made an assumption as to based on how they look. Now, here's what the wisdom of Zig comes in. And Alex, gosh, I can't even imagine growing up in the family must have been like. But I'm sure it must have been really cool and really scary at the same time. But so here's Tom, and Tom is seeing them go by, and then somebody made a comment. It's like, oh my God, look at those guys, man. They're just like that. Like, you crazy. They'll never get a job. I wonder what they do. Whatever, right? And Tom just stops for a moment, and he said, you know what my dad would say about him? It's like, then we all pause. Yeah, what would Zig say? He'd say, look, I will go to war and die for their freedom to dress like that. But I'll never give them a job. Simple as that. We make assumptions about people. This is going to be an exercise that you're going to recognize that there's assumptions being made about you right now. And there are times when we get to speak back about it, and sometimes that we don't. And they may be all spot on, or they may be just totally off. And sometimes they hurt. You guys with me?
Yep.
Find a partner. Let's stand up right now. And let's go ahead and connect.
Just do it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and finish it back up. Some of you guys are having a good time. All right, quick question. As you guys are finishing up, I just have a quick question about this. How many of you ran out of things that you were noticing about the other? All right, isn't that interesting? Very quickly, we start to run out of things that we notice about people. Because we start to make a distinction between what we actually notice and what we're imagining. We can talk all day about what we imagine about others. We can make assumptions all day as to why you got an email from somebody that said something. Why you got a text message from somebody else. The why behind the why. We are making imagination be the reality, aren't we? So let me ask you guys a question. How many times, as you guys were trying it out, would you say that the other person was telling that they were correct in their statements into what they imagined?
About
50%. About 50% or so? Yeah?
Higher?
All right. In a scenario like this, where everybody is open and, like, you know, a little bit playful, like laughing, especially after Jose and I went up here and we told two good jokes, like they were bang, bang, back to back. I love it. Yeah. What we find is that in a group like this, it's much higher. It's usually anywhere from 70% of the time that they are correct, and then 30% of the time that they are wrong. Now, let's be honest. When somebody was wrong, or even when they were right, how many of you feel compelled to talk about yourself? Is that, be honest, let's raise your hand. And that's most of us. When we are speaking, when we are connecting with somebody, we're usually listening to say what we're going to say next. We're not really 100% in attention to what somebody else has to say because we want to make our point. We want to say what we feel is correct, regardless of what the other person says or feels. So, how many times has that helped us or hurt us in life? When that email came in, and we made an assumption that might have been wrong, and we went out and we yelled at somebody. My gosh, why didn't you take care of that client? What do you mean we didn't take care of the client? Yeah, I got the email. Has that ever happened or no? Never.
Only for you.
Or a text message, or even when somebody's speaking, that we hear something completely different than every single other person that was around you. So as we start to think about this, in a situation like this, it's much higher. In a regular day-to-day, it's usually about 50-50. What this is telling us is that your clients are making assumptions about your business that half of the times are wrong. Whether good or bad, though. Sometimes you get credit that you don't deserve. Sometimes you get the challenge, the issue, as a result of something that you never did. So if we start to recognize this, then let me ask you, do you think this gets better or worse when people get upset?
Worse.
That's right. When emotions get involved, this gets completely out of whack. In fact, it can get as low as 90-10. Where 90% of the times, things are incorrect. Zig Ziglar would say that you treat people like you see them. Does that have anything to do with the bearing of who they really are? No. It's all 100% to do with you. That's it. Whether we recognize that or not, that's the real difference. If we start to become aware of this, then you might start to recognize that you might seem like an awesome individual to some, or you might seem like a jerk to somebody else. Regardless of who you really are, you might be the nicest person in the world. You guys with me? So, what can we do about it? How many of you guys are married? All right, fantastic. So let me ask you guys something. Have you guys ever said something that your wife or your husband mistook as something bad?
Nope.
That's 100% correct. That's never happened, right? So, hey, honey, can you pass me the salt? You guys heard how I said that. Hey, honey, can you pass me the salt?
Please.
Okay, please. Right? Can you please pass me the salt? Do you think that maybe the other person is thinking like, oh, man, are they upset because of how they said it? You guys hear what we're talking about, right? Like right now it sounds funny, but this is real life. This happens every single day. What? Exactly, right? How do you look in that dress? How do I look in this dress? You look amazing. Oh my gosh. I said you look amazing. So as we start to think of these things, all of these truths are based on the person that's listening to them. That's it. So the only way that we can be sure is very simply by asking. Hey, honey, when you said to pass you the salt, it made me feel like you're upset. Are you?
We gotta have this talk now.
No, we'll do that one later. That's after. That's the advanced course. So as we start to think about this, how many times do you get to ask your clients if we actually screwed up or not? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we actually get to go back and fix things. Sometimes that's it. We're done. You guys with me? This is why it's so important to recognize that in communication, if it's somebody that you don't already have a relationship with or that you are working really hard at doing that, you get one chance. And that one chance, it's already 50% down. Now, in our day and age, do you think people are living joyful or they tend to be more stressed out and they have things going on in their lives? So do you think they're going to be more likely to be on the 50% or closer down to the 90%? Right, because have people gotten ripped off by somebody else in your same industry?
Yep.
So, as we start to recognize the importance of asking questions is huge. And as we put it together, there was something that Brian said up here that you want to make sure that you're connecting with your clients. Now, what about your team members? Do you want to check in with your team members and make sure that they are connecting with you? Or do you really think that, man, I'm the greatest communicator in the world? I say something once and everybody does it. And they do it right every single time. Do we have somebody in the room like that? Because, man, I'd love to sit in your class. Howard and I will be the first person in the front to be sitting. I'm sure Brian will sit in there too. But this is important. We got to get feedback. And it's very difficult when you don't get that feedback. You can fix things. You can go back. When we have the feedback, you can't fix it if you don't have the two-way communication. If it's one way, it might be done. This is why in marketing, when you send out a newsletter, a postcard, some sort of ad or something like that, that can ruin it. That was it. Now, to make that up, you got to send another 15 after that, or I'm sure S&T can tell you exactly how many to try to fix it up afterwards. You guys with me? So, I want to make sure that we understand this because in communication, let me ask you, are you communicating with yourself every single day? Are you telling yourself that you can or cannot do things every single day? When you wake up first thing in the morning, what is usually the first thing that goes through your mind? Shout it out.
Coffee.
Prayer. Thankfulness. What else?
Snooze button.
Snooze button. Somebody's honest over there. To-do list. What is it? Toilet. Okay. How many of you ever woke up in the middle of the night and you're thinking, oh my gosh, I got to make payroll and we don't have the sales right now? How many of you have woken up in the middle of the night and you had this one thing that just like, gosh, this is dragging me. And then it consumes your whole day. Sometimes it consumes your whole week, your whole month. For some people, it consumes their whole life. My wife went through depression. Depression is such a horrible thing. It's hard to understand. It's hard to communicate that. It took the longest time for me to recognize that there was nothing that I could do to fix it, even though I wanted to.
When you try to make it worse.
Yeah. Every single time. You don't understand me. And that was hard, very hard. But then I needed to learn to communicate with her in the way that she communicates. And many times to shut up and ask more questions and listen. Not to listen, to talk, to make my point, but to just listen and support. So, as we get rolling, then every single day we're going to tell ourselves, yeah, today is going to be the day that I'm going to be able to accomplish all these things. And then all of a sudden the phone call comes in from the client, we get busy, we get rolling, and then what are we going to do? Well, I got busy. I got to take care of that client. I got to call this other client. I got to take care of this team member. I got this other guy that's running through an issue. I got to go out and make deposits. I got to make sure that we got payroll cut. Like, all this stuff going through your mind. But what gets you pumped up moving forward? What gets you motivated? What is the next thing? And the next thing? And the next thing? So I heard John Maxwell. And John Maxwell was talking about having a personal growth plan. And that you want to make sure that you focus on growth and not on goals. Because goals end. And growth continues. But then Zig always said, you got to have goals. And that was kind of hard. Like, oh my gosh, I got two like amazing people that have changed my lives. And they're saying different things. Until I heard Zig say, really, the thing is, at the end of the day, yes, achieving your goals, it's awesome. But the biggest part is who you become along the way. It's that growth that we happen. Now, are you growing intentionally? Some of you guys are saying yes, and some of you guys are probably not. If you can't have a resounding yes, then that's an honest no. Because if we're going to be intentional about growth, does it need to happen every day, every quarter, every month, every single day, right? Monday through Sunday. But in what areas do we grow? How do we focus on that person that we're going to become? Because for some people, seeing that vision of who they want to become is difficult, isn't it? So what if we take both things and we put them together? Let's go through a visualization exercise. Are you guys okay with that?
Yep.
Yeah? All right, cool. So let's get everybody to go ahead and stand up. Now do me a favor, no phones, no laptops, no technology or anything. You don't need to take notes, all right? And in this case, actually, you don't even need to be able to see anything because we're all just going to close our eyes. Fair enough? Now, if everybody closes their eyes, then it's cool. But if, like, some people are, like, trying to look, then it's awkward, right? But if you just close your eyes, it'll make it easier. Now, the first thing that I want to make sure that I touch base on is a simple exercise that has to do with breathing. Now, the first time I heard this breathing exercise, I just thought, it's like, man, this is like mumbo-jumbo, new-agey kind of deal thing. And it was actually not. This is based on studies with Olympians. And the biggest issue that Olympians run into before they go into their game is what's called muscle tension. Now, we've all felt that muscle tension at some point in our lives, especially when we're stressed. You feel in your shoulders. You feel like, gosh, man, things are kind of rough. You feel the weight of the world on your shoulders. That's where that term was coming from. So there's a simple breathing technique that we're going to go ahead and do, and that you guys are going to learn to put it all together. And this is how it goes. I'm just going to go ahead and explain it, and we're going to be able to do it, and then we'll do our simple visualization. So the way the breathing is going to work is I'm going to make sure that I explain it. When you breathe in, you're going to breathe in to a count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're going to hold it for a count of 1, 2. And then you're going to breathe out to a count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Everybody understand? We good? All right, cool. Those of you that don't have your eyes closed, let's go ahead and close them right now. Just get relaxed. Get your arms next to you or in front of you, however you feel as relaxed as possible. We're going to go ahead and take a deep breath to the count of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold it. 1, 2. Breathe out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Again, breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold it. 1, 2. Breathe out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold it. 1, 2. Breathe out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Breathe in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hold it. 1, 2. Breathe out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, right now, you've done that 4 times. Keep your eyes closed. You're feeling relaxed. You're feeling pretty good. And I want you to envision your life 12 months from now. Just 12 months from now. May 16th, 2018. As you're thinking about that a year from now, I want you to imagine 3 things in your life. What are the things or stuff that you have done, bought, accomplished? What are some of the experiences that you've been through, that you have gone through in your life in those last 12 months? And in your economic life, how have you changed it? What are the differences when it came down to your portfolio, to your assets, to your business sales, to your profits? What does that look like 12 months from now? What are those numbers? What are those experiences? What are those things, that stuff that you got? And as you're thinking about those 3 things, I want you to imagine you've already gotten them. You've already accomplished these things. You have them. You've received them. It's in your bank account. You've been through it with your spouse, with your children, with your friends, with your associates, whatever those experiences are like. And those things that you want, you have them. You have that home. You have that car. You see that car. You see that home. You see that new location for your business. You see that new place. You see it. You can touch it. Can you smell it? Can you feel it to where it's real? And as you start to think of those 3 things and your things, your experiences, and everything with to do with your economic life, then you're remembering what were the things that you did, the changes that you started to make in your life, the action steps, your beliefs that started to be different as a result of these truths that are already coming. And how it all started here at this one conference at night where you guys were standing with your eyes closed. And some of you guys were thinking this was weird. And some of you guys were thinking, I'm going to make this happen. There is no way around this other than it's happened. It's already done. It's already happened. Now do me a favor. In a moment, you're going to open your eyes. You're going to have a seat. And you're going to write down all the things that you thought of. All those things that you thought about in those 3 areas. In those things. In those experiences. And in your economic life. Ready, set, and open your eyes, have a seat, and write down everything that was going through your mind. Write them all down in those three areas: your things, your experiences, and your economic life. Write them down. You have to write them down. Your unconscious mind will not believe it to be true if you don't write them down right now. You can have a list of 1,000 things. It doesn't matter. You can have a list of one. It doesn't matter if some of those can happen in 3 months, in 6 months, in 9 months, or if it's going to take you the full year. Write them down. Doesn't matter if you don't know how you're going to do it. Just write it down. Doesn't matter if you don't truly believe that it can happen. Write it down. All right, I see most of you guys are done. Some of you guys are still writing. Now, do me a favor. I want us to go ahead and be intentional about three of them. So I want you to go ahead and now go to a brand new sheet of paper, and you're going to pick three of those things that you put down, three of them, and I want you to write it down, and right underneath it, I want you to write down why. Why you want to make this happen. You're going to pick three of these, and I want you to write down why. And that why needs to, like, burn you. Needs to be the thing that gets you waking up at 3 a.m. in the morning, working on that one thing that you want to make do or happen. Write down why that's important to you. Not why it's important to anybody else, why it's important to you. Write down why. Make sure that why is powerful enough. Just three. All right, I see most of you guys are finishing up right now. Is that right? If you're finished, go ahead and stand up. Stand up and have your three things that you want to accomplish and why in your hand. Now, as you guys are standing, then I want you to again eyeball the room, and you're going to find another person that you haven't met. Another person. So it can't be the same person that you did the previous exercise with. You got to find somebody else that you don't know. If you're kind of stuck on that, then that's all right. Just kind of raise your hand, and we'll connect two of y'all together. We're about to do that. In a moment. All right. Before you guys get rolling, let's make sure that everybody has written down their three and they have found a partner. Does anybody not have a partner? Is anybody still working on theirs? All right, Pat, somebody needs a partner for Pat? Somebody else raise their hand. All right, Pat, over here. Okay, no, they're working on theirs. Who else needs a partner? All right, right here. Mike, come on this side. I see you right here. You guys are going to work together. You're going to be my partner. How about that? All right. Everybody else got a partner? David? You good? All right. Matt, you good? You need somebody? All right, there you go. Right here. You guys are going to work together. Everybody have a partner? Say yes.
Yes.
All right, now I'm going to go ahead and take myself off the mic in just a moment, because let me ask you, how are you going to feel when you have accomplished this?
Awesome.
Good.
Like better than phenomenal.
I'm going to feel good. I feel great. It's going to be
it's
awesome.
Okay. Excited.
Come on, how are you going to feel? Do you really want this?
Yeah.
I want it to come from here. Not from here, from here. You feel it in your gut. You know this thing is going to happen. There's no other way around it. It has happened already. The only thing is that time just needs to catch up to what's happening in here. You created it. You've seen it. God gave you the opportunities, the people around you. Everything's already happened. The action steps have already occurred. You've seen them in your mind. All you have to do is follow through. So how are you going to feel? How are you going to feel? All right. So right now we have it up here. We got to get it down here. And I want you to like say it with everything that you got. And if everybody says it at the same time, it doesn't matter who's yelling. It doesn't matter really what you're saying, because it's not for the other person. This one is for you. I want you to say it with everything you got. Why you want those things and the things that you're going to accomplish. Those three things and why. And I want you to find your partner. And those of you that are listening, I want you to say, is that it? Really? Give me some more. Say it like you mean it. You guys with me? Are you going to accomplish this?
Yes.
So let's do it. Ready, set, go! No. You gotta say it like it's awesome. I'm going to be debt free, and it's gonna feel amazing.
Okay. To each
you,
other.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Ready, set, and grow. Say it like you mean it. This is happening. This is for real. Woo! You got this. Don't worry about the people next to you. Just you share it like you mean it. All right, do not hog the conversation. Let the other person share. Do not hog the conversation. Let the other person share. Don't hog it. All right. All right, let's go ahead and bring it back. Let's give a round of applause for your partner. Give a round of applause for your partner. Give it for him. Yeah. All right, now do me one last favor. One last favor. Everybody, go ahead and pay attention. One last time. One last time. Before we finish up, there's two things that I want you to do, but I want to do right now. As you are thinking of those amazing things that you're going to accomplish, these incredible things, how would you describe yourself 12 months from now? What are those adjectives you would use? Rockin'.
Blessed.
Fulfilled.
Passionate.
Encouraged. Bolder. Smarter. What is?
Legacy.
What else?
Content.
Happier. Joyful.
Energized.
I want you to do me a favor and write those down on the top of your three goals. Write them down. Who is that person that you need to become? Are you bolder, stronger, more efficient, more loving? Are you more aware? Are you smarter? Are you committed? What is it?
More umbrellas in my drink.
I love that. Write down those adjectives of you 12 months from now. And that is the person that you will become. That is the person that you will become. Now, I told you that there were two things that I want you to do. I want you to think of one action step that you can take today. One. What is one thing you can do today? It doesn't have to be big. It can be as simple as you're just going to write it out. What is the first step that you're going to take? But I want you to think of one action step that you will take every single day in order to get you closer to your goals and closer to your dreams. Because this is just the beginning of a process. This is just the beginning of starting to recognize who God made you to be. This is just a little snippet. Because I truly believe that with God, everything is possible.
Absolutely.
And if that's the truth, then we are limitless.
That's good.
So what can hold us back?
Ourselves.
Just us. But guess what? We already did it. It's already done here. Now we just got to walk it. Are we going to walk it? Are we going to take the one action step tonight?
Yes.
As small as it is, are we going to take that action step?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, those of you that would love to share what these things are, and you know you guys are Inner Circle members, I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to send it in to us. We want to know what that is. We want to hold you accountable. We want to help you reach those goals. Because if you are more successful, then everybody around you, every community, your family, every relationship that you have in your life will become better as a result of that. And what better thing than to be a part of that? Even if we just get to hear about it. You guys with me? So, as we go home up to the room, and you're thinking about this and you're thinking about the steps, remember, before you go to bed, take that one action step. And one simple experience to do as well is that breathing technique. Everybody remember it? 5 seconds breathing in, 2 seconds holding in, 8 seconds breathing out. If the Olympians use it every single time that they are about to go, why can't we use it every single time that we're about to go? Because every single day is a brand new opportunity. And it's up to us to make it or break it. You guys with me?
Yep.
Thank you very much. Let's do this.